Recently, I sort of encountered a troubled relationship. I don't know what the reasons were behind the trouble in the relationship, but you know, it was something that stuck with me. And I think most of us here know of troubled relationships sometimes. And there's a lot of research on what makes a successful relationship. And one of the key elements is honesty and objectivity. And that would make a successful relationship. Now, we're also reminded in Scripture that we have three relationships that we are concerned with: God, with others, and with ourselves. Now, I was remembering my first year psych professor who told me, he says, the first nut you're going to analyze is yourself. And it's true. You do get into that. You start looking at yourself first, you know, and trying to learn how to analyze things. But honesty and objectivity requires a true humility. But it's not any old humility. It has to be the right level. People who are not very self-aware or fail at it either have too little humility. I'm just so wonderful, I'm so perfect, nothing is wrong, right? Everything I do is great. And everybody else, you know, they don't know what they're looking at or talking about. Then there's the other extreme, people with very low esteem. Everybody is better than them. Nothing I do is good, okay? And they sometimes get used. Now, most people who know me know I love movies. I love every kind, old movies, new movies, any kind of movies. I love movies, and I like to refer to them. And really, today's gospel almost plays like a movie in my head. Okay, we have an interesting cast here. You know, we have the scribes and the Pharisees. Basically, they're self-righteous, full of themselves, and they're users of other people. Then we have this adulteress, as a person who's being humiliated and is being used by another group. Then we have, you know, the crowd or whoever was left in the temple there when Jesus was there. And basically that's us. We're observing what's going on here. And then we have Jesus himself. And he's teaching. That's what he's doing in the temple. He's teaching. Now the scene opens. Jesus is in the temple teaching. And the scribes and the Pharisees arrive. Very proud, very arrogant, very confident of their great trap that they're going to get Jesus with. And they got this woman that they're going to use. You know, they don't care about the woman herself. They don't care about her sin or what it is. It's the fact that we could trap Jesus with her. She's disposable. Now, Jesus' reaction, he doesn't react to them directly at all. He doesn't acknowledge. He just bends down. Now, in other scripture, in other translations, the word is, could be stoop, but if you've ever been in the Middle East, most people will squat down low, all right? But bending low, squatting low, stooping, all right, is a sign of humility. It's a symbolic act of humility. We bow down to kings and princes and people of great status, right? But Jesus is demonstrating this for the scribes and the Pharisees who lack the humility. So Jesus is making this symbolic act of humbleness. Now it says he writes in the ground. Now, there's two things here. The word to write in Greek has a double meaning. It also could mean to draw. So in other words, Jesus could have been squatting down, doodling in the dirt. Now the ground in the Middle East is not, you know, nice clay or mud. It's usually pulverized rock and dust, and it's very dusty, very fine powdered dust. So he's drawing his hand in the soil or in the dust, and it's basically a time for them to understand, you know. Maybe this is about we're all dust and we will return to dust at some time. You know, we're all human. Maybe we're nothing without God, because God made us from this dust. And it's a time he was trying to give a hint to the scribes and the Pharisees. Hey, take my hint, reflect, and repent. But The scribes and Pharisees, being as arrogant as they are, didn't listen. Okay? They either failed to understand or they ignored it. And they were still looking down on this sinner. So Jesus stands up and he goes, okay, my words are now going to make it clear. What's the truth? Okay? For mankind. Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. I don't think any of us could stay there. All of us would have to probably leave. And Jesus bends down a second time, and he humbles himself again. Now, the interesting thing there, the reaction of the scribes and the Pharisees, it's the eldest, you know, the old guys who are leaving first. Maybe they realize that they're pretty close to turning into dust and becoming close to God's judgment. Or maybe because of their life experiences, they remembered they've done a lot of sinning themselves. But now, it's their turn. They have been humbled. Jesus has pointed it out. They understand now. Now they go away. But will they remember? Will they change? Don't know. Now Jesus does not condemn the woman or us, but shows us mercy. In the case of the woman, a chance for a new life, a real life, because she was on the brink of being dead. She's now got a chance at life. And we also have a chance of a new spiritual life. And basically, we just have to go and sin no more. Now, the whole gospel is about Jesus teaching. Who has learned? Are we like the woman, accepting God's mercy, a chance for a new life? Or are we like the scribes and the Pharisees? We were briefly humbled, but could go back to our old ways really easy. Both the woman and the scribes lack self-awareness, and it prevents them from entering into a true relationship with themselves, with others, and with God. One was a user, and another allowed herself to be used. Jesus is our path to self-knowledge and proper humility. In the second reading, St. Paul reveals his acceptance of his humility and that Jesus Christ is the way. Now that is in chapter 8. If you go six chapters earlier in chapter 2, Paul writes, out of humility of mind, everyone should give preference to others, everyone pursuing not selfish interests, but those of others. Make your own the mind of Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped at, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, becoming as human beings are, and being in every way like a human being, yet was humbler yet, even accepting death on a cross. Now, imagine Gethsemane. Next week we're going to hear. Jesus has humbled himself to the Father. He again says, yet, not my will, but yours be done. Then on Good Friday, Jesus does the ultimate humility. He accepts that death on a cross. But he accepts that in order that we are all raised up, those of us who have repented. Through the cross, Jesus teaches us to see the truth about ourselves and about change and conversion within us. Jesus lowered himself so those who were too proud and sinful received the gift of humility. Jesus raises those crushed and repentant, all of us, who want to change. And we are reminded that we are all children of God who loves us. St. Thomas Aquinas stresses that humility is the first virtue, inasmuch as it removes the obstacles to faith. And Pope Benedict stated that he realized more and more why St. Augustine regarded humilitas, or humility, as the core of Christ's mystery. So, the question then becomes, are we honest with ourselves? Are we truly humble?